Hello, everyone. My name is Jimmy Matthews. I'm an epidemiologist with the Maricopa County Department of Public Health back home in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Today, I'm going to be talking about a Salmonella Javiana outbreak involving a local seafood restaurant. And just to let you know, Javiana is the Arizona pronunciation of that. We don't observe daylight savings time, so don't try to tell us what to do. What's the clicker this? Which one do I click? There we go. All right, this had all the hallmarks of a traditional outbreak investigation. I'm going to walk through the EPI methods. I'll walk through environmental health field work, tell you a little bit about the laboratory analysis, product traceback, remediation efforts, and then some of our general conclusions. Start with a little background on Salmonella Javiana. It's relatively common. Outbreaks in the past have been identified a number of produce items, meats, spices, and then it's also been isolated from a wide variety of food items. As you can see, produce, meats, cheeses, processed foods, nearly everything. So the Maricopa County Department of Public Health has a partnership with the University of Arizona. Their public health grad students will provide interviewer support and do some of our Salmonella investigations. On August 10th, they identified two independent cases that reported the same restaurant exposure. From here on out, known as the infamous Restaurant A. The next day, we reached out to our Environmental Services Department, they're the restaurant inspectors, and asked about this restaurant. Well, sure enough, they did have a community foodborne illness complaint. So we had evolving evidence. On August 15th, the Arizona Department of Health Services Laboratory let us know that they had five Salmonella Javiana serotype sitting at the lab. Now, this is a little higher volume than we expected. The next day, this was up to six, and the PFG pattern results were in, and they were all the same. So clearly, we had an evolving outbreak on our hands. Now I want to start with telling you a little bit about Restaurant A. You know, the structure of a facility involved in an outbreak investigation really kind of determines the course of that. Basically, some important details. They had a very large dining room and a vast menu. So the pace and organization of mealtime service was really vital to kind of running a successful business. On the other hand, this also meant that a lot of people could be exposed in a very short amount of time. It was a Cajun seafood style restaurant, and we came to find that shrimp, of which there are many varieties, was put on nearly every kind of dish. So the EPI investigation included a lot of traditional methods. We started with a focused questionnaire that expanded our seafood questions to include things like fish, oysters, shrimp, to replace our overly vague seafood category on our standard questionnaire. Additionally, if the case reported Restaurant A exposure, the investigator would try to determine exactly what menu item they had consumed. And based on our previous experiences, we chose to have this enhanced little interview module on all our incoming Salmonella cases, because usually when we get that report of a Salmonella case, we're only at the Salmonella species stage with the lab. And then finally, we also conducted a case control analysis using non-ill dining contacts of our lab-confirmed cases. We incentivized those control interviews using $5 Amazon gift cards. So I want to touch on our environmental services partners who really were a vital piece of this investigation. Fortunately, none of them can be here today. But in addition to kind of liaising with Restaurant A's compliance manager, there were also the boots on the ground handling the inspections, observing practices, providing guidance, and then also collecting some of the samples. Really love this graphic because it highlights all the varieties of shrimp. Restaurant A took advantage of nearly all these. And the first visit our inspectors did was on August 11th. That was that when we were at that three-case cluster, basically. That date, they didn't find any priority violations, which would be basically something at risk of impending foodborne injury or illness. And then there were three subsequent visits conducted from August 26th to September 7th. These focused on observation of practices, environmental sampling, and food sampling. And each subsequent action at those visits was informed by our evolving lab and EPI evidence. I want to take a moment to discuss kind of the food prep at Restaurant A, at Environmental Services Observed. So they received seafood from all over the world, Canada, Mexico, Vietnam, different corners of the United States. It was regular practice to, in the morning, staff would line up a big table, unpackage these bulk deliveries, wrap them in bacon, skewer them, pre-portion them out into a baggie for quick grab during mealtime service. So once they did all those pre-portioning activities in the morning, they returned those baggies to the walk-in unit for quick grab, like I said. So the case control analysis consisted of, went the wrong way. consisted of 25 lab-confirmed cases, at 31 non-ill controls, and then 4 probable cases that turned out to have consistent symptoms that were the confirmed cases' dining partners. As I said, we did incentivize those with a $5 Amazon gift card. The only food item, we took ingredient-specific information from Restaurant A and kind of stratified out the ingredient-specific exposures. The only food item that came up as statistically significant was unfried shrimp. We chose to check that out because we started having kind of off-the-cuff evolving theories about cooking temperatures. Sure enough, frying shrimp seemed to almost be protective. This table is going to highlight all of the notable lab results that we collected. So of the 10 we collected on August 26th, both a repackaged portion of halibut and a freezer door handle were positive for the outbreak strain. Another visit on September 1st, we had 5 repackaged portions of shrimp from all corners of the world with the outbreak strain or highly related strains. And then on that day also, we had 1 unopened sample of shrimp positive for Salmonella veltovredin, not the outbreak strain. Subsequent visit on September 7th that sampled that same type of shrimp in unopened lot again, that sample came back negative. So the FDA determined that the implicated product was farm-raised shrimp from Vietnam. Once the importer was notified, there ended up being a recall issued on September 19th. Now, this was not a consumer-level available product, so it just went to restaurants and that sort of thing. Why? Okay, that's the wrong one. In the end, we ended up with 40 confirmed cases, 10 probable dining contacts that were epi-linked, had consistent symptoms. We had a few more females than males, median age around 43. 12 of our 50 cases ended up hospitalized for hospitalization rate about 24%, a little lower than we typically see. We see the typical suite of symptoms, salmonella, no surprises there. Of our 40 confirmed cases, 4 PFG patterns ended up emerging. 87% of those were the most common one, ending in 1855. And then the remaining 13% were split among those other 3. So the onset dates for this outbreak range from June 28th through September 19th. Interestingly enough, our first case explicitly denied Restaurant A exposure. Our very last case was interesting for a number of reasons I really can't get into here. She did report Restaurant A exposure, but 6 months prior, definitely didn't add up. I kind of tried to tease that out a little more, but she became increasingly agitated and hung up on me. So that's where that dead ended. The Restaurant A meal dates stretch from July 16th to August 18th. So in the end, we had the majority, two-thirds of our cases reporting Restaurant A exposure. This was unavailable for another 10%, and then this left a full quarter of our cases basically explicitly denying Restaurant A. And also, the majority of our cases did reside in Arizona, specifically Maricopa. We had a few non-Maricopa County cases, and then these 5 out-of-state cases you see here, they were all exposed at Restaurant A while here. So what can we conclude happened here? Well, based on the multiple repackaged portions of shrimp from all over the world with the outbreak strain kind of smeared across them, pretty good indication of cross-contamination. That this cross-contamination then passed on to non-food services, pretty well evidenced by the freezer door sample being positive. That only one of many different varieties of unopened shrimp was positive for salmonella, pretty good evidence that this was likely the product. Even though it was a different serotype, it was also a different lot, which probably suggests kind of an ongoing issue with this product. Another question we asked ourselves, why salmonella in seafood? I think a lot of people may be asking themselves that question a lot lately. But with farm-raised shrimp, you could have a number of issues. You can have livestock runoff, you can have sewage contamination, you can have wildlife contamination. Ultimately, we'll probably never know the answer. On the lessons learned, I will say that communication with Restaurant A's compliance manager really was a positive thing. They were eager to cooperate. They expedited providing records, that sort of thing. So that was a positive part. The required temperatures for cooking seafood, that's something we revisited. You know, we came to find out that to eliminate salmonella, you need 165, but seafood recommendations are 145. And nobody likes rubbery shrimp, so that predicament is kind of unresolved at this point. And then finally, I think we all saw the bonus of incentivizing the control interviews. I think a lot of people in the room can sympathize with the struggle to get people to buy in for something that they weren't sick for. you know, in the scope of all the infrastructure to support our investigators, their salaries, the gift card expenses were quite negligible. Finally, I just want to acknowledge all the people who helped out on this investigation, by no means a singular effort, and I may have even missed some people here.